Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this time together. We ask for your anointing upon us, Lord. We ask that you show us the Melchizedek priesthood and what it's all about, why you even put it in there, Lord. But we know, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us insight into that. And we just thank you that tonight everybody's going to participate and show us what they've gotten. And Father, we thank you for all the prayer requests that have been answered. Father, it just seems like it doesn't make any difference what it is. You answer them all for us, and we praise you for that, because we got a bunch of believers on here. We got a bunch of folks that's got faith, Lord, faith that you're going to, and trust that you're going to pull through, fulfill what you've told us in your word, Lord, and we thank you for that. We ask for your anointing. We ask for your infilling of your Holy Spirit tonight, Father, amongst all of us. We want revival, Lord. We just pray for revival to start right here tonight in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Lord, for all that you accomplish in us all tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. First thing up is prayer requests. Anybody got a prayer request?
Now I can hear you.
Oh, good. Awesome.
I heard you breathe.
All right. Awesome. Any prayer requests? I do. Lord, I just thank you that you're going to hang that cloud over us, and we're going to get a good, slow inch of rain here, maybe two. In Jesus' name, Lord, because we know that it don't last long when we get it, but boy, we love it when we get it, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the fruit from the gardens, Father. Seems like you have absolutely just blessed our gardens abundantly, more than abundantly, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all know that we got cabbages. I sent y'all a picture of those 15-inch cabbage heads, and them things was that big. And then I picked yesterday off of about a 30-foot row, 20-foot row. What is that noise? Wade, what you doing, buddy?
Yeah, that's touching my desk. I lean on it, and it's
sweet. I'm going to mute you. Awesome. Okay. Yeah, and me and David picked about 6 gallons, maybe 7 gallons of green beans yesterday. Ooh, it was good, too. We had some green beans and new potatoes today. Just thought I'd throw that in there for y'all to lick your lips, because it's good. It was finger-licking good.
Was that from the garden at Jeff and Sandy's?
Yeah. Actually from Jeff and Sandy's and our garden back here in the back here. We got some potatoes out there, and I dug up some potatoes to stick in there with those green beans. Ooh, it was good, too. I'm going to tell you something now. It's one of them slap your mama kind of goods, too. Thank you, Lord.
That's horrible to slap your mama.
Yeah, that's a slap your mama type of good.
How big are the taters?
Well, the taters are normal size, you know. We got new potatoes out there, and I got some about that big and some about that big. But you know what happened last year over at Jeff and Sandy's? We got some that was 8 inches in diameter or in circumference. No, around the short side and 15 inches around the big side. Big taters. Glory to God. And that was, you know, what we're experiencing here is the same thing that they experienced down there in Guatemala at Alamogordo. Remember that? The story about that where they went to praying against it. It was a small town farm community. They wasn't doing a whole lot, wasn't getting much crops, and they were just struggling down there. And there was a lot of crime, and they went to praying. And when they went to praying, and everybody in the town got saved. And the whole country actually went into a revival. But there at Alamogordo, they showed some of the man, onions that were, gosh, like that, you know, and carrots that were, gosh, that big. I mean, it was amazing. It was very amazing. But we're experiencing the same type of stuff here now. And that's the power of prayer on your gardens. Praise God. All right, anybody got anything they want to? And I ain't bragging. I'm telling you the truth. I sent some of you a picture of that cabbage that we picked the other day.
Michael?
Yeah.
I wanted to pray for my friend who's for traveling mercies. He's traveling from Tulsa to here tonight. And he's going to be driving all night unless he stops in Shreveport. So I'm thinking maybe you make, I'll just pray for his safety. His name is James
Devery. All right, go ahead, and we'll just believe with you, brother.
Thank you, Lord, for James having a good transportation and having time to come and visit us, Lord. Please make his travel safe and durable, that he would not get overtired and he would make the trip in a good time. In Jesus' name, protect him, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. What is that, about a 4-hour trip?
I don't know. From Tulsa to Shreveport takes a few hours, so it's...
Yeah. Maybe
then
three.
Then from Shreveport back again, another 3 hours or so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we believe with you. Hey, Andrew, go ahead. Oh, you fixing something, weren't you? Okay. Matthew, you're going to sit there and eat right here in front of everybody, aren't you? Glory to God, I tell you.
Well, you're bragging about all these vegetables we're getting out of the garden.
Making you hungry.
Bragging about my dinner.
Okay. All right. Awesome. I'll tell you what, your wife can make some good tater salad. That's some good tater salad.
Excuse me. I got a testimony.
Okay.
I shared this with a local group last meeting, but we had I had shared the testimony that we had the red wasps coming in the house somewhere, and we prayed against those, and the Lord took care of those, and then we had these black ants and coming in the bathroom, and the Lord took care of those, but we still had these sugar ants, and they weren't, you know, really bothering me too bad, so... Yeah. They weren't really bothering me too bad, so it wasn't, you know, such a big trial as, like, the wasps, you know, so the Lord took care of the wasps really quick. But the ants, you know, they just kept coming, and they weren't really bothering me too bad, you know, but I was just, you know, would rebuke them every time I'd see them. And then the other day I was telling Matthew, I was like, hey, wait a second, we didn't have any ants anymore, and I don't even remember when it stopped, but the Lord took care of the sugar ants, too, so our home is officially bug-free. Thank you, Lord.
Michael.
Y'all couldn't hear me, could you? I said, Jeanette called me today. My wife called me today and said that she found mice droppings inside the car first time, you know. And we don't live near woods or anything like that. We're out in the middle of a field, actually. And that's the first time we've ever had that happen. I said, well, let's just pray. And so if y'all would, of course, y'all know she's kind of nominal at best on believing that God would do these things for us. And so we're just going to pray, and since I am the authority over that household, I'm going to command those mice to get out of my property. In the name of Jesus right now, I command those mice that have been invading her car to leave that property right now in Jesus' name. And I command them off limits to that property in Jesus' name. You cannot, will not, get on that property again in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Keeping all the varmints off of there in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, I got something, Michael.
Okay, Debbie.
Do you remember I shared about my our friend, my real dear friend, Nancy, in the nursing home in Wisconsin, who's blind and had a stroke several years ago, doing really bad, always physical trials, always back and forth in the hospital. And I think I told you a week or so ago that I was on the phone with her when she started coughing really, really bad and started hollering for help. So I had to hang up, and I called the front desk. I didn't know where CNAs or anybody where it was there as far as Jason's proximity to her room. So I said, get someone on that floor to Nancy's room. She's choking. So I guess she always aspirates really bad, or did. She passed away now. But the other day, 2 days ago, I knew she was in the hospital from that. And she was in ICU for a few days, and I heard she was in a regular room. So after about 3 days of knowing that, I called her 2 days ago because it was her birthday. And I got her room and her son, and he said, you know she's dying, don't you? And I said, no, I had no idea. I didn't know. He said, well, she is unresponsive, but she can hear. So he put the phone to her ear, and I talked to her, and I prayed with her, and tried to comfort her with my words. And I'm pretty sure she's already comforted if she was with it that much to sense anything, because she loves the Lord a lot, and she's very discerning, very strong in the Lord. And so the last thing she said to me before she died was, before she started coughing, was, I want to go with you to David Eales. She said that to me. And then she started coughing. But the last thing I heard her say, the very last word she spoke to me, that was something. But I want to praise the Lord, too, that we got to see her before she died. So,
what were the last words she spoke, Debbie?
I want to go to David Eales with you guys. So there's no way she could if she was okay.
Yeah.
But she said that. She told me before it was her desire to go with. And I think she knows we couldn't care for her because she was being fed in the stomach. She couldn't eat or drink. So for 2 years, she's been fed that way. She's never tasted food for 2 years. I heard that she was passing away and called Denny and said, when you get home, hope you don't mind if we run to Tennessee. Hope you don't mind if we go to Tennessee, to Wisconsin to see Nancy, because I told him about how she's dying. So he said, yeah. And I was, bless the Lord, my husband works so hard all day. It's hot and does that. So we traveled for 5 hours. We actually got there in 4 hours, because the travel was really easy. And our intention was to stay the night at a motel, because I really felt she was going to hang on the night. And so we were going to stay in a motel, and we couldn't get any motels. There's this big country thing going on that part of the state, and there's no motels anywhere. So we pulled over, and I slept in the front seat of the truck, and he crawled it back in the cab, because my side of the truck doesn't lay back. Just the driver's side does. And he laid back in that cab. So for a few hours, we did that, and had to get up early from that. It was kind of uncomfortable. And got to the hospital the next morning at 6 o'clock. We were able to see her, stayed with her till about 10:30, prayed with her, and then we had to leave. And I heard later that evening that she died about the time that we got home, which was a long time. It took us a long time because it's really, really hot. We didn't have air in our truck. It went out. It's been fixed today, praise God. But it was storming, and the traffic was terrible because of all the people heading back home from that big fest thing. It was really a huge thing, and campers and everything. So it was really hard getting home. So we took a long time on our stop. So we didn't get home until about 7:30. And so they said she died about 7:30. So I just thank the Lord that she's out of her misery. And I heard that, as well as my prayer, was prayers of others, that Lord heal her or take her home, because she suffered so much. She used to be independent. She was blind, but she was independent until she had this stroke a few years ago. So I just thank God we got to see her, that he kept her there for us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, she's feeling good today. I'm telling you what.
Feeling good.
Amen. Yeah.
Seeing.
She's got her eyes wide open right now.
Yes, she does.
Hey, Jackie. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike.
I want to say a quick prayer if we get a minute.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's see. I got this message here. I bought one of the books from, E.M. Bounds, a collection of E.M. Bounds on the internet through eBay. And I didn't think anything about it, just kind of bought it fine. And the guy hadn't shipped it yet, and he sent me a message here. And I got it today, and I just opened it up before I got on. I said, oh, I quick replied to him. I said, hey, I'll pray for you. We'll be praying for you in the group. He says, I'm sorry I haven't shipped your book yet. This week has been trying. My son's lung collapsed Wednesday, and he's been in hospital since. I've been spending many hours with him and staying the night. I will ship the book tomorrow. Sorry. So, Father, we come together as a group. I don't know who Mike or Mark Evans' son's name is, but I'm assuming he's under his father's roof. So, Father, we're coming together on behalf of Mark Evans to pray for his son for a quick healing. I'm not sure why his lungs collapsed and why he's in the hospital, but, Father, you know the circumstances, and we come together in agreement that you'll have show favor on Mark and his son, and give them out of the hospital as fast as possible. Whatever was wrong, Lord, we come together and we command the healing that happened in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that boy is healed. Thank you, Lord.
Something else I want to say. Last time Debbie was talking about that new burial thing, and I want to tell you that when you were talking to me at first, you said Dave, and then you said David, and I thought, well, maybe she's talking about David Ills. That's why I didn't respond to you right away. I was just kind of thinking, well, she must be talking about David, because whenever I hear David, I just assume it's not me at that point, you know. So
okay, I'll try to remember to call you Dave.
I mean, you can call me David, but I automatically just assume we're talking about David Ills.
Well, I'll just point at you and say here.
Yeah, that's why
you
I put David.
Dave
on there. If I would put David, people think, well, that's David Eels.
Okay.
I guess it happened to me because my son-in-law's name is David, and so I'm used to saving David. And I wanted to clarify something. When my friend Nancy said, I want to go to Tennessee to see David Eels with you, it's because one of our visits, we've introduced her to his, she listened to teachings of his with us, and we talked to her about healing and faith and confession of your mouth, and she listened to some of Hidden Manna over our phone. Hold the phone to her ears, just lay there and listen to it. And so then I was also doing it three times a week with her. I'd hold the phone up to my TV on YouTube, and we'd listen. And she sometimes, most of the time, she didn't get all the way through one. We have to keep finishing it off and then the meeting. But twice she went through the whole hour. So she kept saying how anointed she knew he was. So that's why she said that. Was just out of the blue.
Oh, so I'll tell David. I'll tell him. Yeah, Dave, I've got a brother named David. And, of course, I've got David down here, you know. So I'm just used to saying David. So if I call you David, don't pay attention to me.
So just don't call me Mustafa.
What is that? Oh, okay.
That's all right. I used to hear when I was in Turkey.
Don't call you anything but Muhammad. Huh?
And Muhammad and Ali. And
all right. Yeah, all right. Anybody else? You know, while I'm thinking about it, I want to pray for my daughter, Allison. Lord, I just bring up Allison to you. Lord, she's not eating. She's weighed down close to 100 pounds. And Father, I don't understand what's going on, but you do. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you place it in her to eat like she's supposed to. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you that she's going to gain weight and do fine. And I praise you, Father, that you're working in her life to come to you. I had a good talk with her yesterday, and I thank you for that, Father. It was real fruitful, I believe. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.
All right. Anyone else? What about a testimony or a praise report?
Well, Michael, I just your daughter Allison. Do you think I don't want to speak anything on her, but
please don't.
Do you think it's a spirit that she's?
Well, yeah, absolutely, it's a spirit. She's been having, as you probably remember, she's been on prescription drugs, and some of them are very dangerous, and very abusive with them at times. And I suspect that's it's a demon, and but I also suspect that God's working in her life too. And so we just,
do those prescription drugs like take her appetite away? Is that what it is?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I don't know that, but I know that those demons are, they manifest and they don't. They manifest and they don't. You know how they work.
Yeah. Okay. Well, she's healed. And she's
healed.
Fine.
Amen. Asleep. She's healed and delivered in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? Is that you, Marlon?
Michael.
Yeah, Wade.
I was going to give that testimony that I spoke earlier today. I mean, to you at this, in the beginning of this.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm praying for him too, and that's another thing. My neighbor, I have a brand new neighbor of about 3 weeks, he's Christian. He's a certain denomination that they're real big on the name of Yahweh and Yehoshua or Jesus. And anyways, he considers himself a follower and a seeker. So I felt there was room that maybe indeed he is seeking. But anyway, he was talking about his bad back. His back was hurting him. And I prayed for his back. But at first he wouldn't let me. I asked him if I could put my hand on his back and pray for him. And he said, no. And then I said, oh, I'm going to pray out loud. And I prayed out loud. And he reached out to adjust his sock. He said, I'm healed. His back was healed. However, he won't let me pray for another thing that's on his body. His ankles were hurting him, and I'm sure God can touch him on that too, without him hearing me pray, because he won't give me that opportunity. But I pray for him. He says he's a seeker, that he would seek the word of God concerning the sons of God, the man child, and all the doctrine that we have here. His name is Marcus. Marcus Richard. And I pray for him and his son and his daughter. And I pray for their healings and for their guidance to the Lord, to know the Lord. In Jesus' name. That's about
what's he call himself? A seeker and a what?
A follower and a seeker, which is not far from the true doctrine, you know. I'm praying he'll do some seeking. He insists on reading the New Jerusalem Bible, which I guess is all right, except that he didn't even realize it was Catholic. And that's all he's got is New Jerusalem Bible. I don't think it's what his group reads, but that's what he's been reading. And he hadn't been reading the Bible for a while, but he got started back again. I've been pressing him to read the Bible. And he's reading it every day now. And so I'm seeing hope that the Lord is touching him. And I want to see him come completely out of the doctrine he's in into the truth, into salvation.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
God bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? You got something else, Wade? Oh, there you go. Okay. Is that you, Chris? Who is that? 402 number. Is that you, Marlon? Okay. All right. Anybody else got a testimony, praise report, or prayer request? Yeah, Matt.
We're getting rain.
Are you getting rain? Praise God. Yeah, that's a good testimony. Man, it's still raining hard here.
It's raining hard here.
Yeah, I expect it's going to fill that rain gauge up.
As long as it doesn't go over the rows, we should.
Yeah, that's yeah. Praise God. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, 402 is that?
Okay, I thought it was. How y'all doing? You getting any rain up there, Marlon?
No, it's pretty dry here.
Is it?
We got a chance of rain tonight. Supposed to have some storms, but we've been praying them to go around, commanding them to go around.
Well, I'd command the storms to go around, but lay in for some rain, right?
That's right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Man, we're getting a good rain right now up here on the hill.
Yep.
All right. Anybody else? Testimony, praise report. Okay. How many of you studied about the Melchizedek priesthood, the order of the Melchizedek priesthood? I know you all did. I know everybody in here did. I know you did.
We mentioned that last time?
Huh?
Did we mention that on Thursday?
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah, no, Jeremy suggested we do that. And in fact, he gave a pretty good rundown on what it was. So, yeah. So I cheated. I went online and went to the website. And David has a four-part teaching on that. It's called The Order of Melchizedek. And pretty good, real good. As a matter of fact, in audio form, it's got four parts, but he's got two of them transcribed. And it's really, really interesting how he ties it all in. So let's just open it up now. What is the Melchizedek priesthood? Hey, Tracy.
Well, it's supposed to be a priesthood that doesn't have a beginning or an ending, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Melchizedek supposedly doesn't have any known parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has this an appearance of being in like an incarnate Christ, in a sense, from no beginning, no ending.
Mm-hmm.
Priesthood that doesn't quit. That's why they say Jesus has the... he's after the order of Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm. So what's the key is what you first said there. It has no ending. What does that mean? That means Jesus is not the last one, is he? That means that there's going to be others, the order of Melchizedek. So the Melchizedek priesthood actually, as David so eloquently puts it in his Bible study, is a type and shadow and a teaching on the man-child ministry. That's what it's all about. That's why God put it in there. And it is mentioned in Psalms 110, Genesis 7, Hebrews, I don't have to look at that one, but it's really a good, interesting study. David says in that thing, he says, it's a Hebrews 7. And Psalms 110. And he says, many prophecies have a dual fulfillment. The first one is the most natural fulfillment, usually. Successive fulfillments are more spiritual. The last fulfillment is usually the greatest fulfillment of any prophecy. Now, there's nothing more important than Jesus, tells Melchizedek. But don't you know that Jesus is coming again? He's coming in more ways than one. He's coming as an epiphany in his people, what that means. And he's coming as a parousia, personally, for his people. And the Bible teaches those things. And we can get into them here in a little bit about the word that tells us that. Anybody want to add anything to that right there? I want y'all to help me out here now.
I see it's in the transcriptions, too. I just checked. So
yeah, yeah. That's what I'm reading from. And, Wade, just so you'll know, he also, the Lord tells us in the Word that Jesus taught us to pray to our Father, and he taught us to call him Father. And you'll find out that Jesus called him Father all through the concordance. And he didn't call him Yahweh. Of course, you probably already know that, and that's good. And you'll find also that God ordained that in the New Testament that the Greek language was the language that he used because it has the perfect numeric pattern in it. And, of course, those of you who have followed UBM know about the numeric Bible. It's got God's signature in it. So, anyway, that's that. Now, and then he goes into the tribulation and that type of thing. He says, Psalms 110:1 says this, "The Lord saith unto my Lord," and David says, my here is David, because David wrote this psalm. He's calling his Lord somebody that the Lord is speaking to. And, of course, we'll find in Acts chapter 2 that what he's talking about is the Father speaking to the Son. Verse 1, "The Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And the Father is saying, I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. So sit over here at my right hand until that's done. But that's what the scripture says, isn't it? There was an argument among the Jews, and Luke tried to, he straightened them out here in Acts 2:29. It says, "Brethren, I may say unto you freely of the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us unto this day. Being therefore a prophet, knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins he would set one upon his throne." And we know that that was Jesus. The Bible tells us that there's not going to be any generation that doesn't have one of David's seed on the throne. Well, what does that mean? Jesus came according to Romans 1 and 3. He was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, but was declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness. He was Son of Man through Mary, because the seed of the woman was to bruise the serpent's head. And he was Son of God through God. Is the same thing going to happen to our day, in our day? Yep. except that Jesus left an individual body in order to be able to come back in a corporate body in order to do what he was doing back then all over the world. That's his plan. And that is the Melchizedek priesthood that plays right into that plan. The seed of David that sits on his throne also plays into that plan. And that's a double fulfillment we're looking at. Both what we read in Psalms 110 and what we're reading right here in Acts chapter 2. And then we're going to start out in verse 31. He, foreseeing this, spake of the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he left unto Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus did God raise up, whereof we all are witnesses, being therefore by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath poured forth this which ye see and hear. For David ascended not into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So he says, sit down on my right hand until I make you your enemies at the footstool of my feet. What enemies you think he's talking about? Well, that's that same bunch of ne'er-do-wells in Jesus' day that's over here in our day now. That same bunch of religious harlot. And that's the corporate bodies of people in our day that cover the earth. They have been the enemies of God's people. They have been the temptation of God's people. And they have been entities that live within God's people that have to be conquered before God's people are ready to meet the Lord. In the scripture, the Father is saying to the Son, you just sit right here on my right hand until I make your enemies the footstool of your feet. So if you go back to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, it says something real similar. Repent ye therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out, that so there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who hath been appointed for you, even Jesus, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all, whereof God spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old. Now, if you'll notice, David left out the word things, restoration of all things. That's because things is not in the New Testament in the Greek. It's not the things is not of the Greek. And he's talking about people here. He ain't talking about things. Jesus was resurrected. He was caught up to the throne of heaven. And it says the heavens must receive until the time of the restoration of all. Now, he ain't talking about things there. He's talking about people. He's talking about his elect, for which the whole earth has been created to bring forth into the image of the Son of God. And that's the elect, the chosen, that Romans 8 tells us about. Many are called, but few are chosen. That word chosen is the word eklektos, meaning elect. The elect are the chosen who were chosen from the foundation of the world. There's a whole bunch of Christians out there that are called. That means that they are invited, as you probably already know. That word for called is kaleo, and it means invited. They are invited to partake of Jesus Christ and bear fruit and be chosen. But God don't just pick anything. He picks only good fruit. That's all he picks. You know, the problem here is that the enemies of God's people are also the enemy of God. And he goes into, he says a lot of people have a theology about Jesus coming back much sooner than these things. And of course, you know that the tribulation is, we go through the tribulation. Everybody on here, I believe, understands about the church going through the tribulation. And so I'm not even going to get into that part. But he says in Acts 2 and 25, for he must reign till he hath put all his enemies under his feet. That's when the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our Lord Christ, Jesus. The last enemy that shall be abolished is death. And that's talking about the rapture there. So, what is this epiphany he's talking about? The shining forth from his people, his glory. David references 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. If you've been listening to him very long, you know that's one of his favorite verses. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even from the Lord the Spirit. So you look in the mirror and you see the glory of God shine more and more from each glory that you go to. Praise God. That's the epiphany. The epiphaneia actually is a Greek word, but we call it an epiphany. What is the epiphany? It's the coming of the Lord in his people. The Melchizedek priesthood has everything to do with this coming of the Lord in his people. So as you can see, when the Lord comes in his people, and the Lord is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, the Bible says, then there is a Melchizedek priesthood also coming in his people. The first fruits of God's people to manifest Jesus Christ are going to be a part of the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Any questions now? Now we're going to get into some of the scriptures that bear this out. Throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. Anybody got any questions or would like to add something?
And Melchizedek's interesting. It's hard. It'd be nice to know more about him. We know a lot for what it points to with Jesus, but it just kind of appeared there with Abraham, you know, and it's like, whoa, that was interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think the Lord put him there, put him in the Word to show us that we're part of that. Just like you were talking about before, you know, he came without an end, which is, that's us, all the way to us, you know.
He was called, what, the King of Salem also?
Yeah, he was the King of Salem, I think, yeah.
And Salem was actually Jerusalem.
Yeah, yeah, which is, you know, that's where the bride is, isn't it? And that's where the man-child is, too. David was a type and a shadow. King David was a type and a shadow of the man-child.
I guess it's so interesting. You think Melchizedek actually was Jesus Christ? Or do you think he's just a whole different? I just wonder.
Oh, no. I don't know. I think he was an actual man. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, I guess. I don't have any thought on that at all. I thought he was always a man that God stuck in there as a type and a shadow for Jesus and for his end-time man-child ministry. That somebody else got something on that, that's fine. How about it, anybody? Hey, Denny. Okay. You can't hear me?
Can't hear Denny if he's talking to us.
Oh, you talking, Denny? No. Oh, let me unmute you.
Hey, is it okay now?
I can hear you now.
Yeah. anyway, he had a section on on Melchizedek, and he said that there's two times in the scriptures that the book of Jasher is mentioned, one in Joshua and one in, I think, a Psalm. And he looked up that word. That Jasher wasn't a person, but it's a word that means a righteous record. And so he got a copy of that, sent for a copy of it. And he said on the, one of the pages in there, when it's speaking about Abraham meeting Melchizedek, and then he said, and the same was Shem. And that, so he kind of looked at it, tried to search it out in the scripture to see if all that was possible. And Shem was still alive at that time. In fact, of course, Shem was one of the three sons of Noah who came through the flood. He came through judgment and, in a sense, resurrection. And so he was probably the only one alive that was out from the other side of the flood at the time. He actually outlived Abraham. But it just said it's mentioned in that scripture that those two, you know, the book of Jasher is mentioned twice. And in the book of Jasher, it says that Melchizedek, who was Shem. So it could, he could have been a man, just a man, you know, Shem. And he went through Noah's flood, so he went through judgment and resurrection. And, of course, he was the main thing about it, that he's a type and a shadow of that priesthood. Because he in a sense, was judged and came through the other side with resurrection life. But in I know the scripture says that the lesser is always blessed by the greater, and you know, Melchizedek blessed Abraham, so Abraham was in a sense lesser than Melchizedek. And but you know, but I thought it was an interesting analogy. And I think in the book he has a book on Bill Britton had a book on Hebrews, the whole book of Hebrews, and in those chapters he goes through it kind of step by step, and it's a possibility. It seems it mentioned about without father, without mother, and all those things, but it doesn't mean that he didn't have a father, didn't have a mother. It means he didn't have the proper genealogical background to be of the Levitical priesthood like Levi did. You know, he was, in other words, he didn't have the proper credentials, proper mother, proper father, proper genealogy. I mean, there was an explanation on all the different possibilities in it, but it was interesting to think that it could have been a man. You know, or others say it would be a theophany, which would be God appearing in the flesh in human form, which I don't know. But being the fact that Jesus was a human being, and you know that he had was going to be a priesthood for mankind like that, and he had to be human. Had to, so Melchizedek may have been, you know, could have been Shem. Just kind of throw that out. But, fact that it's mentioned in the scriptures and that it is in that book was interesting.
Well, I've never heard that, but that's interesting. So
yeah.
He alludes that it may be Shem, huh?
Yeah. Shem was still alive. He was the only one at that time from the other side of the flood. He went through the flood, went through he went through, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, the battery low sign just came up. I was going to plug it in. But he did go through the judgment, in a sense, because he went through the flood and came out on the other side, which would speak of the resurrection life.
Yeah.
And in that sense, he would have been the, you might say, the federal head of all of mankind at the time.
Mm-hmm.
His grandfather, Methuselah, was a contemporary of Adam. So, I mean, he had connections going all the way back to Genesis and back to Adam, in a sense. So, but I don't know if God put him in there as a type of that, of the priesthood that would come forth, you know, in our day, which was Jesus. So, but.
Man, that's awesome. I had never heard that, but a lot of things I hadn't.
Yeah.
You say that was Bill Britton?
Yeah, Bill Britton has it in his book on the book of Hebrews.
Yeah.
He has book on the whole book of Hebrews, you know.
Okay. But, all right. All right, anybody else? Anybody got any questions about that? Hey, Jeremy.
No, actually, though, I just heard the whole ordeal on that, and that's pretty cool, actually. You know, when you look at the tithing aspect of it, because I've never read the Book of Jasher, right? But when you look at the tithing aspect of it, it's in Leviticus 27 and Numbers 18, where the Lord directs to tithe to the priesthood, the Levites, 10%. Right? And what's interesting about that was they were not a warring tribe. Therefore, he's the king of peace. You look at what happened with Abraham when he tithed that. So, didn't he just get back from going to war?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there you go. And so that king was there, but he's obviously on Abraham's side, but he didn't go to battle with him. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's interesting that, you know, that was brought up in that mannerism, because that's something definitely I'd like to look into, you know, to kind of formulate that and put everything together, because it's not really consequential to us today because we understand the word with, but it's still a cool piece of information.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? So, yeah. Because that's the Levitical priesthood, but then all of a sudden it decodes a lot of this stuff and it makes Hebrews a lot easier to understand.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at that point, the Levitical priesthood hadn't even been established.
Right.
Yeah. Neither had the law. All right.
Isaac offered Abraham bread and wine.
Do what?
When he met Abraham, he had offered him bread and wine.
There you go. Well, that puts a whole new aspect on it. If that was Shem, why would he call himself Melchizedek? That must have been a name that the Lord had given him or something. I don't know.
Exactly, because you know how the Lord changed a lot of the surnames over, right? And he says that in Revelation, he'll give you his new name.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, he says he'll rename you. So if you rename Shem in the Melchizedek, that would be pretty cool. I'm not sure if we can find any record to back that up. Maybe anything, maybe notarized or whatnot. So.
Yeah. Well, like Denny was talking about, that it was in Bill Britton's book, is that the man went through the wilderness, went through the tribulation, and then he came out on the other side, resurrected. And, well, that just all makes sense, you know. That ties it in right there, because that's exactly what Jesus went through, and that's exactly what the man child is going to go through. The same scenario. It's all Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 again. Ain't nothing new on earth, is it? It all comes round and around and around.
Right, we're seeing prophecy always repeated.
Yeah. Yeah, time and time again. Praise God.
Nothing's new under the sun.
That's right.
So it's the same story over and over again, and it all cooperates and backs one another up.
Yeah. 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 It's interesting that all the scriptures that David has in that study that point to the man-child ministry and the Melchizedek priesthood as being tied in together. It's really, really cool. He said Isaiah 59 is a good example, starting out in 16. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm. Who's the arm of the Lord? That's Jesus, isn't it? Therefore, his own arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it upheld him. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a mantle. Well, if in Isaiah 61, where Jesus quoted it in Luke chapter 4, the prophecy of the anointing and so on and so forth, you'll notice that Jesus never got to this part about the vengeance. He left that off. Matter of fact, he cut that verse right in the middle. 61:1 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he stopped right there. Why did he do that? Because that's where his ministry stopped. Then it goes on to say, and the day of vengeance of our God. Well, when does that happen? That happens in our day when the once a lamb is coming back as a lion. That's the man-child ministry. How's he coming back? He's coming back in this verse that we're looking at in Isaiah 59. In our day,
His garments are going to be garments of vengeance. Garments represent actions or works. The garment of the bride in Revelation 19 was the righteous acts of the saint. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning put on his actions, put on his works. In Isaiah 59 and 17, he put on garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a mantle. That's his coming this time. He's coming in a different body this time. Verse 18, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will pay recompense. And David says, didn't Moses as a man-child bring wrath upon the enemies of God in order to set God's people free to go into the wilderness? History's going to repeat, just like we said a while ago. It always does. It always does. Verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west in his glory, from the rising of the sun, for he will come as a rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord driveth. That's how the Lord's going to come. He's going to come as a rushing stream, as the breath or the spirit of the Lord driveth. Come on, revival. Praise God. The Bible says, and then he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain waters the earth in Hosea 6 and 3. This is another terminology that speaks of the same thing. He's going to come this way to his first fruits to finish off his first fruits, to prepare them for this anointing to do exactly what Jesus did before. Verse 20, and a redeemer will come to Zion. There it is, right there. A deliverer, a redeemer, a savior is going to come to Zion. Who is that? That's just Jesus manifested in his first fruits, coming to do the exact same thing and repeat history, this time with the church rather than natural Israel. Praise God. Verse 20, and a redeemer will come to Zion and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Well, praise God. He's not coming to be manifested in a people that aren't turning from their sin. He's coming to a repentant people. Verse 21, and as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. In other words, generation after generation after generation comes from this man-child ministry. And that word is going to be coming out of their mouth. It's going to be passed on in a geometric progression as Jesus showed us. What happened? Jesus passed that word on, and it came all the way down to our day. Of course, it's been diluted all these many years, but God's bringing it out now. And when he's bringing it out, this is for the man-child ministry that's fixing to hit this world with a storm. Praise God. Isaiah 60 and 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. There is the glory of the Lord manifested right there in God's people. Praise God. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. How many of you want to see the glory? The Shekinah glory hit you. Glory to God, me too. Praise God, that's going to break a bunch of bondages. Man, I'm telling you. Verse 2, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord will arise upon thee. There's the epiphany that we've been talking about. And his glory shall be seen upon thee. That's the shining forth right there. That's what that word epiphany means, the shining forth of the God's glory. From his people. Glory be to God. You're going to be walking down the streets and people are going to be doing just like it did Peter. You remember what happened to Peter when he was walking down the street? Man, if I could just get under that boy's shadow, glory to God, I'll be healed. That's the glory of God on him. That wasn't no shadow. Yeah, Andrew.
I was wondering if you could read Psalms 149, verse 5, down to the end.
I sure can. 149?
Yes, verse 5 down to the end of 9.
Let the saints exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Come on now. To execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the people. Here we go. Same stuff. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. That's it, ain't it? Glory be to God. People are going to be walking on this earth like Jesus. That's going to be hard to fathom because we ain't seen that in a long time. We hadn't seen it since Jesus' day. We see spurts of it here and there. But I'm telling you now, the world is going to be scared of this man-child ministry. They're going to be scared of the bride.
I had to mute it earlier on because you got Tracy going over here and she's amening and praising the Lord. And
Hallelujah!
Praise God. Yeah, it's something to get excited about. That's the time we're fixing to come into. Glory to God. When this man-child comes, you know those things that have hindered your walk, every one of you's walk, that you've been waiting on God to take out. And not only that, the things that you've been waiting on to be healed from, it's that man-child ministry is coming on, and glory to God, and that glory of God's going to come on you. People are going to be healed. They're going to be set free. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Glory to God. And that's why I don't get too worked up over the things that I see with my natural eye, because I know that man-child's coming, and he's going to fix it all. Glory to God. He's going to fix it all. Those people you've been praying for, they're going to come a-running. They're going to come to you, your disciples. They're going to come to you. And when they come to you, what you going to tell them? So let me show you what it says here in the big book. And that's what you're going to do. It says, by his stripes you were healed. And you're going to show them the promises that you've learned through the years and that you've been walking in. And then they're going to get it because God's going to open their eyes up. And they're going to see. That's what's going to start this revival. Signs and wonders following. If there ain't signs and wonders following in your life, you know, that's what's going to happen here shortly. You have to have the faith to believe that and trust God to back up what he says in his word. That's what the man-child ministry is all about. He's going to be strictly into, he's going to have a red phone to God the Father. You know what I'm talking about? Just like Jesus, I don't do nothing unless the Father tells me to do it. He's going to be in constant contact with the Lord. And the Lord's going to be telling him, do this, do that, son. Come on, son. I'm encouraging you. Come on, strike down that man over there. He's messing with my people, glory to God, you know, or whatever it is, you know. I don't know. It's going to be awesome time. Revival. Just think of the glory of God falling down on his people. People going to be, listen, those of you that have been persecuted, have been spoken against because of your the truth that God has given you, get ready. Get ready, because they're going to remember. God's going to place it in their heart to give you a call or come running to you if they can't call you. That's going to happen. Glory to God. That's what this man-child ministry is all about. And listen, if you want to be in the bride or you want to be in the man-child, just have faith to believe it. Just have faith to believe it. That's all it takes. Arise, shine, for the light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Glory to God. And listen to this. And nations shall come to thy light and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Woo, glory be to God. We're talking about the Lord coming in Zion.
Zion, David says, Zion represents two things. It represents the bride, and it represents the man child, because David was the head of Zion, which was the bride, and that's what we're going to see. Of course, you know the man child comes out of the bride. And when he comes in, it's before the tribulation. He comes up, he shows up, he gets his anointing and leads the bride into the wilderness or into the tribulation. And the bride's just learning because the man child's teaching the bride now. He's teaching them now, y'all need to get this right, y'all need to get that right. He's going to show them what's right. He's going to encourage them. It's going to be the second wave of man child coming out of the bride too. There'll be a second wave of them too. So praise God, you know. It's going to be an awesome time. Can y'all get a little excited over this? I can. He says in Psalms 110, verse 2, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Well, thank you, Lord. Did Jesus rule in the midst of his enemies? He sure did. I mean, even the people that were prostituting his church and his people, he went in there and he slung them out, didn't he? Moses, he ruled in the midst of his people too, in the midst of his enemies. And David says, some people have the idea that the man-child is going to be formed so that they can fly away. Who would want to go then? My goodness, that's when the fun starts right then. Every man-child in the body, in the Bible, had a job to do after they came to maturity. After they came to maturity, they had a job to do. Moses had a job to do. Jesus had a job to do. Joseph had a job to do. Joshua had a job to do. And the job was to bring the rest of the church into maturity. Why would God take out of this earth the most important people on the face of the earth to bring his church to maturity? In the Song of Solomon, doesn't it say, in chapter 6 and verse 13, return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee. Now, Shulamite means perfected one. Return, return. Yes, they're going to be caught up to the throne of God, and they're going to have a ministry on the earth to restore God's church, and that's what we're going to see. We can forget about all that old flyaway stuff. It ain't going to happen till the end. When that man child gets mature, he's going right to work teaching and discipling his people. Psalms 110 and 3, thy people offer themselves willingly in the day of thy power in holy array. Offer themselves. What's he talking about? Who are thy people? What thy people is he talking about? He's talking about the vessels through whom God is going to come because they offer themselves willingly. Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's people are going to offer their bodies as a living sacrifice, so that through the death of self, that spiritual man can guide them, right? Who's that spiritual man in us? Anybody tell me who the spiritual man is? Ain't that Jesus? That's Jesus.
Yeah. Yep, that's Jesus.
Amen. You in the wind, Barbara? You in a tornado out there?
No. No.
I hear a lot of air hitting your microphone. Yeah, it's almost loud as you are. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Yeah, that was Jesus. As the outer man's decaying, that inner man is being renewed day by day, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. Christ is growing in you to the extent that you are presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. Remember, you only have so much territory in this body. Somebody has to live, And somebody has to die, don't they? Praise God. That's right. If you're not dying, you ain't living. If you're not dying, you ain't living. If you're not dying, you're not turning over to the Lord. The people who are dying are going to be the people who are going to be the first fruits to manifest the glory of God in them. The word offer themselves willingly actually says our free will offerings. What actually says our free will offering. In other words, they are free will offering. And that's not people that are under the law commanded to do this. They're servants of God, children of God. These are sons of God. They're willingly walking into this death to self. Praise God. As y'all, most of you have read, you know, that hated book, How Shall We Die? It is a good book for those who do want to die. But boy, I can tell you what. You can read that thing and you'll, oh gosh, oh, that hurt. Oh no, I ain't got to give that up, do I? Yeah. Oh my, yeah, you got to give it all up. Give it an absolute, you know, we talked about 1 week about absolutely surrendering everything to God. That's what we do. We just give it to Him. Lord, I can't do it myself. You got to do it. And that's what we do. We allow God to do it. It's not anything that we do, but we, all the thing we can do, all the thing, that our job is to follow through with what God is doing in us. If that same thing keeps coming up, you got to walk away from it.
Yeah, you know, let me do this for you real quick. To just collaborate with everything you're saying. Put that in the chat. It's unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia, right? Write these things. And he says, he'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews or not, but do lie. He'll make them come and worship before thy feet. He ain't gonna make you an idol. He's gonna make them say they're sorry. Right? So he's gonna make them come and worship at their feet because you kept the word of his patience. Right? I will also keep you from the hour of temptation that shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And behold, I come quickly. He that overcomes, I'll make a temple in the pillar, make a pillar in the temple of my God. Exactly what you just said. Right? You know, they're all gonna come to him. Right? Well, coincidentally, right, that's the fifth church of Revelation. But if you look at Revelation 6, there's the fifth seal, right? And when he had opened up the fifth seal, I saw on the altar, and the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, which had the testimony that he held, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ, the spirit of prophecy. And they cried with a loud voice and said, How long, Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge the blood of them that dwell upon the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, because they didn't deny his name, and was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants and their brethren shall be killed as they were, shall be fulfilled. Right? So what are they overcoming? They're saying, How long, Lord? How long are you going to do this? Because you, everything in you wants to revenge yourself. Right? You want to wrath. You want to go on and justify yourself, which is a sin. Galatians 2:17. Hush. Right? Which is a sin. Galatians 2:17. And so you want to justify yourself. And in that case, look at what it just says. Right? He's going to do that for you. Right? Coincidentally, Philadelphia means brotherly love. So, praise God, you know, because it's exactly what Jesus said to his disciples. You'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. You know, and that's a part of coming out. That's a part of standing for him against adversity, against persecutions. You know, when you come out of the world, you give it all. It's a heart matter. You give everything unto him, and man, he will change you for that. But, you know, if you hold on to something, you place it before him, woe unto you. You know, look at Ananias. You know, and what was it? What was his wife's name?
Sapphira.
Yeah. So not too cool. You know, so I was just looking at that, and coincidentally, it's he takes the people to work in his church. You know, and it's the people that love him, that, you know, will not bow down for other people, and not in self-righteousness, but won't go against the word of God. They haven't denied his name. You know, so I thought that was really neat because that is wrath. Listen to what the saints are saying. You know, they were headed for the Lord of the Lord, and they're saying, how long is it going to take you to avenge me? You know, given the trust over the Lord to avenge them. But what do you say? Rest. Just rest. Just wait. You know, and so then he'll make them come to you. So I feel that that's a trial, and then there's the reward.
Amen. Well, what happens to those that think that they're sinners saved by grace? Or sinners saved? You know, he's never going. What is that? Yeah, sinner saved by grace. But what is that word that they? Boy, I just had a brain went neutral. Sinners. Y'all help me out here. Once saved, always saved. That's what I'm trying to think of. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for my memory. I thank you, Father, that I have the memory of a steel trap in Jesus' name. I can remember everything. Sinner, once saved, always saved. That ain't got nothing to do with what we've been talking about.
That's the way of the sin.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead,
David. I think that's the church of Laodicea.
Yeah, could be. It could be. How many of you want to be in that church of Laodicea where they believe that I've shook the preacher's hand, I put a little money in the box every Sunday, and my ticket's been punched, when the word goes opposite of that? The people listen to the preachers and don't get in the word and find out for themselves that you must bear fruit, and that ain't green fruit either. That's ripened fruit, ready for harvest, 30, 60, 100 fold. 28, 29 and a half ain't going to do it. That won't get you in. He wants complete, absolute surrender to him, and you only can do that by renewing your mind with the Word of God and getting in there and finding out for you. Anybody that puts their soul in the hands of a preacher, of a man, that's very dangerous. That's very dangerous because you could spend eternity in hell. Not only in hell, you'd be down there by yourself. You think you're going to have a bunch of buddies down there. You ain't going to have nobody but you in darkness and hot. It's going to be hot. You think it's hot in Arizona. Woo, glory to God. I'm telling you down yonder, it's hot.
Yeah, the party's canceled due to the fire.
That's right. The party's canceled due to the fire. Yeah, but that's why it's imperative that you listen to people who have been filled and anointed by the Holy Spirit that have read these things, but you don't even trust them without your Bible in hand and following along and finding out for yourself that that's exactly what the Word says, because your soul depends on it. Your soul depends on it. That preacher ain't going to get you in up there. It's going to be you standing up there before God in all your naked glory. And he's going to say one of two things to you. And y'all know what that is. He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, or come on in, my good and faithful friend. I want that last one. I want that one. And that's why I get in the Word. That's why I pray. That's why I want to be in this bride. I want to be in that. I want the glory of God. I want to be a part of this last day's thing that's going to happen. Glory to God. It's going to be awesome. Praise God.
Michael, we want to hear him say, well done.
Amen. That's right. Well done, thou good and faithful friend.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. Ooh, man, I'm gonna be dancing through them gates. I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. I'm gonna give Jesus a big old hug if I can get by him. If I can get up to him. I may have to knock Jeremy out the way, but I'm gonna do that.
Well, I can't do that yet, so I mean, what'll be the point of that?
Yeah.
Hey, we wanted to leave you with this. You know, we're talking about denying ourselves. And yeah, it's real interesting because the Lord gives a lot of nuances for denying ourselves, our carnal nature, right? Things that we need to let go of. He said, coincidentally, you know, if you look at the Old Testament, every scripture in the Old Testament ends with, you know, amen. A lot of times they use amen at the very end of the scripture, right? But Jesus says it at the front all the time. He says, verily, verily, which means amen. It means truth, truth, right? That's opposite of what you used to know. when he says that specifically, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, he says lightning will come from the east and shine into the west, because the weather patterns go from the west into the east, naturally. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right? So if we'll literally just deny ourselves and do everything we don't want to and rest when you want to get mad, right? The Lord will avenge you, right? We have to, that's part of denying yourself, you know? So yeah. that's a little bitty thing like that that you have to take into consideration. Otherwise, you're going to wander around the wilderness for 40 years. Your shoes ain't going to wear out because then your feet would be naked, and that's hallowed ground.
Well, not only that, they weren't allowed to go into the promised land either, were they?
Nope.
Ain't no promised land. For murmurers, not at all. Praise God. Anybody else? It's good stuff. Hey, Willie. We're talking about the Melchizedek priesthood, brother. And we having a good time. I am, anyway. I don't know about anybody else.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
Another way of saying once saved, always saved, or unconditional eternal security, or any of those, is really what essentially the cut and dry of it is saying that you can't lose your salvation.
Oh, yeah, that's eternal security.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ultimate reconciliation. Well, not ultimate reconciliation, but eternal security.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, that's that'll get you thrown in hell is what that'll do. And that's very, very dangerous stuff there. Psalms 110:3 again. In the day of thy power, in holy array, God is fixing to pour forth his power. And that power is going to start with the man-child ministry. You know why? Because it started with Jesus, didn't it? It started with Jesus. He was the one who was the first to receive the former rain of the Holy Spirit. And Isaiah 61 speaks of that former rain falling on Jesus, and of the latter rain falling on the man-child in our day. That's the corporate body of first fruits in whom Jesus lives. And Joel promised both the former and the latter rain. The day of thy power is what is going to bring this forth. We wonder why it hadn't happened before now. Well, it's because God's power hadn't been there. We've done the best we could with what we had. We didn't have enough to do what God's about to do. So he's sending his power. He's raising up his people. And he's sending his power. And this last phrase is pretty interesting in verse 3. Out of the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. Who's he talking to here? Well, he's talking to Jesus. Jesus is coming again. This time in his youth. Again, out of the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. Can you imagine that Jesus is being reborn in you? When you are born again from above, what is it that creates that Jesus in you? It's the Word out of heaven, isn't it? Who is the Word out of heaven? Jesus said he was the Word out of heaven. So when you take this seed of the sower, which he said was the Word of God, and you put it in your heart, that Word out of heaven is being birthed in you again. Who is it that lives in you now, 30, 60, and 100 fold? That's Jesus Christ. He's being born again. He's coming in his first fruits. He's going to, again, once again, start his ministry, his man-child ministry that he promised in John chapter 16. And I'm going to read some of that too. Verse 19, it says in John 16, Jesus perceived that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves concerning this, that I said, A little while, and ye behold me not, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Now don't jump to conclusion there, because what Jesus is about to tell you is that the little while he's talking about is almost 2,000 years. Watch this. Verse 20, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament. He ain't talking about those disciples he had there. He's talking about a whole bunch of disciples now. You shall weep and lament,
but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And that's what's coming. Joy is coming. Verse 21, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for the joy that a man, that's a man child, is born into the world. And ye therefore now have sorrow. Meaning, of course, they were the women. He was speaking to the church here, the women, the woman church. And the woman church has been with us all the way down to this day. The woman is in travail in our day. And he says, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one taketh away from you. How's he going to see him again? It's the little baby that's born to the woman, the man child, which we read about over in Revelation chapter 12. Y'all all read it before. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she crieth out, travailing in birth, and in pain to be delivered. Verse 4, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness. And that's the tribulation right there. Where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they, that's the man child, may nourish her 1,260 days. So as you see here, Jesus said he was coming again, and they were going to rejoice when the woman, that's the church, sees the man child, because he said he's going to see him again, didn't he? So this is what he's talking about here. Out of the womb of the morning. What morning is he talking about? Initially, we know that it was the morning of the first day. Every day, every 1,000-year day is counted from the Adams. The first Adam or the last Adam, Jesus Christ. The morning of the first day of the born-again man was the last Adam, who is the father of the born-again man. That was Jesus. But also, we're talking about coming now to the third morning, the morning of the third day, the 3,000 years from the last Adam. Well, we're already there. This is it. That's what we're into right now. Psalms 110 and verse 3, out of the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. And Jesus is coming again, just like we've seen in so many of those passages we just read. Hosea 5 and 15, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me earnestly. And the Lord did go to his place. You know, there was a great falling away. The great dark ages happened after Jesus. And most of the churches hadn't come out of that yet. They're still in the dark ages. They don't understand what the Word of God says concerning their walk with Jesus. But he made this promise in Hosea 6 and 1. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, here we are, we're coming into it, will he revive us on the third day. That's the morning of the third day, out of the womb of the morning. He will raise us up, and we shall live before him. And let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. God's people are fixing to know him. Verse 3, and let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is sure as the morning. That's the morning of the third day. He going forth. Sure as the morning, he will come unto us. He ain't coming in the clouds, folks. Not at that time. We know what's going to happen later on. But that ain't what he's talking about here. He's talking about the epiphany right here. He will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. Now, the former rain started Jesus' ministry. The latter rain anointing of the man-child is going to start this next ministry. It's going to be a repetition of history right here. Because why? Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 again. History always repeats. First time we don't do that, David says the Bible is wrong. Praise God. Anybody got any questions or any comments on the Melchizedek priesthood? Does anybody believe what we said is true? I believe it.
Yes.
I'm looking for it. I'm praying for it, praise God.
I had a dream of it.
Do what?
I had a dream of the latter rain.
Let's hear it.
Of everybody getting it. Well, I didn't see the man-child get it, but I was seeing the rest of the bride getting it. I was in an apartment complex with a bunch of Christians everywhere. And we were all just waiting and just waiting for something. And I seen my mom and stepdad in some one of the rooms checking on them. And there was some, I guess, UN soldiers messing with them. And, like, had them on the ground, pinned down. And all of a sudden, like, a great, like, all of a sudden the rain just came. Like, it was so quick, came down fast. Everybody just, like, you just knew you had it. And then for some reason, well, those UN, they took off, they ran in their cars, and they just peeled out. And everybody was just, like, testing out all their powers. It was like an X-Men movie or something like that.
Transformers, huh?
Well, like X-Men, like, you were able to shoot electricity out to use against, like, robots and stuff like that. So you can disable them in one shot. You can shoot light out of your hands. You can use it like a flashlight or shoot it against, like, demons to make them go away. You can fly. You can shoot fire out of your hands. Everybody was just going nuts, like, trying, like, choom, choom, like, and I was realizing, oh, yeah, I could fly. So I shoot up in the air, like, 200 feet, and then come right back down and start praising the Lord. It was a crazy dream.
Oh, no, that's what's going to happen, brother. That's what's going to happen, too. Hey, you're going to be in the middle of you might find yourself in the middle of a prison and a bunch of God's believers right there with you, and they'll be zapped right out of there. They're going to be sitting back there scratching their head, and they might have a gun pointed at you fixing to kill you or whatever. I don't know, you know. Just you can't put God in a box, can you?
No, and everybody, after they were, like, you know, pretty much testing, everybody was just praising the Lord.
What
they were doing.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God. That's a good one. Praise God. Transformers. That's what I was thinking of. Transformers to Jesus. Amen. Go ahead, Dave.
It would definitely get the world's attention.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they're not going to be able to touch the bride at all. They ain't going to be able to touch the bride.
You should have seen the look on the UN soldiers' faces.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, one of the ladies here had a dream one time. This is when we lived over in another place. There was a bunch of us living in this great big old house. And she had a dream that foreign soldiers, UN soldiers, like you were talking about, were surrounding the whole block where that house was. And they was short Asian guys. And they wore black, you know, like black uniforms and stuff, because she knew that they were the enemy. And there was martial law. But she could see through their eyes, and they couldn't see that house. All they saw was an empty lot. And we were all inside that house praying. And that was the dream, actually. So that kind of stuff's going to be happening.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome, you know, and it'll prove the Bible.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's not only going to prove the Bible, it's going to prove who we are in Christ. And the people, what God's going to do this for is for the church, the apostate church. Those people are going to have to make up their mind to go with Jesus or to come against Jesus. Most of them are going to come against Jesus because it doesn't fit their agenda. And those who are hanging on to that man's tradition, who's hanging on to denominationalism, and they may not say they're a denomination, but they're a denomination, okay? their denomination of the non-denominations. And look, I'm telling you, that's it, because they all believe the same thing, and that's not the whole Word of God. And if they don't believe the whole Word of God, they're not of God. And anybody that's teaching that God doesn't do the things that he did back then is a false church. You need to get out of there. I don't know if anybody here is, but I'm telling you, you need to get out of there. Because your soul depends on it. And I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. God's going to bring this great delusion upon people. And you're not going to be able to change your mind, because God's going to make sure that you don't if you stay with that tradition. You're going to have 3.5 years to get it right. If you don't get it right in that 3.5 years, you can forget it. You're consigned to hell after that. He's going to close the door on the Gentiles just like he did on the Jews back when Jesus died and went to heaven. But he's going to open it back up to the Jews. And then God's going to fill up the kingdom with Jews. Not all of them, just the one, just a remnant. Just a remnant. All right. Somebody got another thing they'd like to comment on? For sure. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
Well, one thing that comes to mind, talking about all these signs and wonders, you know, like the brother is just sharing in his dream, you know, what comes to my mind is Mark 16, where it says that these signs shall follow them that believe, and then also that what they spoke, the proof of what they spoke, what confirmed that they were speaking the truth was the signs and the wonders. So.
Yeah, that's going to be the proof, isn't it? People, if there's not signs and wonders following your ministry, even now, you know, you got to ask yourself, how come? Well, that's because of our belief system. That's because we don't trust the Lord to do what he says he's going to do in his word. We see, I'm telling you, it's the truth. We have prayed, for those of you out there who hadn't heard this before, we have prayed for giant snowstorms coming our way to not hit us and to split and go around us. I'm talking hundreds and hundreds of miles long and hundreds of miles wide, coming straight for us, solid as a rock. And just before it came to us, it split just like it right there and went around us. Everybody around us got 8 and 9 inches and 12 inches and 14 inches of snow. We got a little dusting. Not enough to even, that's what God's looking for. Not only that, we have prayed for people over the phone, and God they died on the phone while we were talking to them, and we prayed for them during their while they died, and they came back to life, praise God, and they're still living. We've seen all kinds of good things, and it's the signs and wonders that God uses to bring the people into the kingdom. If you ain't seeing them in your church, you better be asking yourself that question, am I in the right place? Praise God.
I think if we see the latter rain, we'll see more and more of these miracles. It'll be...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fabulous anointing.
Yes, it is. It's going to be an anointing day that breaks the yoke. We said this before, and y'all have heard me say it, is that this time coming up, it's going to fill up the kingdom of God. More people are going to get saved during this period of time than all history combined has, just in this little 7 years coming up. A lot of folks are going to get saved.
I say that just for others, in case you're thinking, well, hey, you know, I don't have these miraculous signs happening in my life right now. Well, you know, let's rest. Rest and believe and wait. You know, it's coming. That's all we have to do is just have faith and believe and wait on the Lord. He'll take care of all that.
Exercise your faith. Exercise
Absolutely.
Your faith.
Absolutely. But some, I,
Yeah, go ahead.
The anointing is going to, again, break all that yoke for us. It's, if there's any hindrance, it's all going to be pushed aside. All we got to do is just have faith and believe that it's going to happen.
Amen.
And for everything, you know.
Amen. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, you're in good hands with the author and perfecter of your faith. So if he's the author, then we better read what he has to say about that. And he's the finisher of your faith, too. So.
Amen. You got to know him, don't you? You got to be talking to him every day. Talking to Jesus, talking to the Father, talking to the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you. You know, there's a lot of times we have trouble getting up early and getting in that closet with the Lord. I know I do times, but it's essential now that we do that and be praying for one another. We need to be doing that too. We pray for everybody on the conference call, and that God would protect and God would fill them up with His Holy Spirit, and God would teach them the revelations that they need to know in order to walk this walk He's got us on. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
You know, the first time I received a miraculous healing, long story short, it was overactive bladder, but because I confessed with my mouth, I said, was telling someone, I know that God still does this, and I'm believing that, you know, I'm waiting for some, I'm believing in the Lord for healing for some things, and, but I know, just because I haven't received anything yet, I know that He still does it. I've read enough testimonies, heard enough people talk about that kind of thing, you know, receiving the healings and stuff, miraculous healings, you know, without a doctor, you know, and stuff like that. But anyway, the Lord honored my speaking of that faith, and I received healing of for that overactive bladder the next day. And it didn't dawn on me until 2 weeks after that that the Lord brought that to my attention. I was thinking about that whole thing, and I counted back, and I was thinking about it, you know, when I had said that, and the Lord brought it to my attention. He says, I honored your faith, you're speaking that, and that's why you were healed, because you spoke your faith, you know. But yeah, it was like, I dealt with overactive bladder for 2.5 years. Actually, that's my testimony is on the site about that. And that I got that overactive bladder because I had a really bad bladder infection. And then what happens is it messed with my bladder and caused it to do spasms. And so you know, you're like, you could just get done using the restroom, and the next thing you know, 10 minutes later, you gotta use it again, you know, and there's no reason for it. It's just your bladder does this. So, but anyway, praise the Lord. Boy, does that give me such a huge boost of faith.
Amen.
That was so encouraging.
Amen. It wasn't that you were drinking Mountain Dews, was it?
No. That's what you drink, Michael.
Okay. All right.
But anyway.
Amen. That's good testimony. Thank you, Lord. All right. Yeah, I've seen a lot of healings in my life and people around me, too. I'm still seeking some healings for people around me, too, and myself. What was that?
Oh,
that's okay. That's a good beat, brother. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share before we close out here? What do y'all want to talk about next? What is this? Today, Thursday? Tuesday? Today's Tuesday. What? Oh, I see, Tracy. I'm sorry. I didn't see your hand up. Go ahead, girl.
My hand's getting tired, Michael.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Hey, I gotta ask a fun question here, see what you guys think. We talk about favorites, you know, and Jesus has no favorites, and I understand that. But what do you guys think, how come Jesus had an inner circle? You know, he had Peter, James, and John that, what's that going, dude? He had Peter, James, and John that always went in to where the other disciples, you know, the other 12 didn't go into. Why is that? What do you guys think about that?
Anybody got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I can answer.
Okay.
If you look at why Jesus had those three with him, it's because all three of them requested his baptism. Right? Where Satan was going to sift Peter, James and John came to Jesus specifically and asked for the baptism of Christ. So he personally taught them. Right? They're also the same three that went to Gethsemane with him. Right? Where it wasn't a, Lord's not a respecter of persons. Specifically, he was taking them in there to show them things where the others had debated who was the greatest. That's why he had to tell them that you kings of the Gentiles, lord over one another, stop debating, you're a servant. But, hey, if you got to repent for debating in Romans 1, then, I mean, he didn't condemn them. He just showed them.
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, what about, he's not a respecter of people, but is he a respecter of faith? Huh?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, they probably had the most faith, didn't they?
Yeah, well, you know, Peter jumped out of that boat when the Lord said, come. Now, I know he sank on the way out there, but he did jump out of that boat and took off with him. And, of course, John was with Jesus all the time. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, my thought is, too, is you know, he this one and that one, you know, he said, come follow me. Okay. And they did. You know, he said, follow me, and they did. You know? So, I mean, wow. I mean, can you imagine? You know, he pretty much was a stranger, you know, and he told them, come follow me. It was like it was kind of a bizarre thing almost, you know what I mean? Like you said, he's a respecter of faith, so.
Yeah.
Peter and John went to the tomb, too, when he was raised.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, what about Thursday night? What y'all want to talk about? Anybody got any ideas? I know y'all are full of idea.
I don't have an idea on that, but I want to add something to what Missy was saying. I was reading in that today also about those he called and Matthew and them, and they left their post and left the boat, and they dropped what they were doing to follow Jesus. And I had this wondering thoughts of Jesus is why they do that, and I thought the Lord let me know that when Jesus calls and you hear, you have revelation, you just go, you want to go. And so he called them, and they had revelation that he was the truth. Even before he said he was the truth, he must have had revelation of that, and they wanted to go with it. So I just thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, they dropped everything, didn't they? They dropped the fish net, glory to God, and went on out there. Daddy was still fishing.
Yeah, amen.
All right, any more ideas about Thursday night?
Well,
what about Tracy?
What about favoritism? Have you guys covered that before?
Favoritism? I don't guess we have. And what you talking about with Jesus?
Yeah, just in general, are Christians supposed to have favorites?
Okay, we'll talk about that Thursday night. Favoritism, what is that? How is it supposed? How are we supposed to act toward that word?
You're the boss. I don't know.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. That's the question we'll pose. That's the question.
Isn't that basically the same as being a respecter of persons?
Yeah.
Favoritism?
Yeah, right. That's the same thing.
And it's also, you're supposed to treat all the brothers alike instead of, you know, siding with one compared to the other. That's kind of like parties in the first Corinthians, it mentions there was parties. There was seemed to be some went this way and some went this way, instead of realizing that the church was for the for you were supposed to accept the believers.
Okay. All right. Yep, that's right. We are not to be respected first. So let's just talk about that, and that's going to be some of that killing self stuff. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for a wonderful evening tonight, Lord. It was so good to see and to speak about the man-child ministry and the things that you're going to have waiting on us here, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you give us a little taste of that beforehand. Father, that the revival, the Shekinah glory would fall upon us, Lord, and give us a lot of encouragement for this in Jesus' name. Thank you for protecting us, Father, through the night. Give us a good night's sleep. Give us some dreams and some visions of the things that are going to happen. I like that dream you gave Chris about the Transformers, the Jesus Transformers, and the power of God coming out of them. And I thank you for it, Father, because that is really an encouragement. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask that you give us a lot of insight into this favoritism thing that we're going to talk about Thursday night, Lord, so that we can understand that we're dead men walking. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody got any prayer requests before we leave? Okay, Missy.
My left foot has been bothering me. Mm-hmm. It's been hurting like the bottom part, like underneath my joint there at my big toe, the main joint that connects mm-hmm. my foot. Like underneath, and it's like all of a sudden it started hurting and bothering me, and it feels similar to something that I had in my right foot a couple years ago or whatever, and I don't want to speak what I think it might be or whatever. I just want to ask for prayer and command it to go and be completely healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you that it's a done deal in Jesus' name. You believe that, Merle?
Amen.
Amen, brother. Me too. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, good night, everybody. And we love you. We'll see y'all again Thursday night.
Good night,
amen.
So you're kind of thinking maybe Thursday we'll start maybe How Shall We Die kind of?
Well, favoritism is part of that, yeah. Yeah, that'd be good. Be good.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see you, Tracy. God bless. See you, Chris. Bless you, brother.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bless you, Nikoslav.
Good morning, Joe. We'll see you, brother. Have a great morning over in South Africa.
Thank you.
You too.
All right, brother.
Love y'all.
Please.
Good night.
Good night, Denny and
Debbie.
Good night.
Good night, Michael.
Good night, Willie.
John, boy.
Good night, Wade and Jeanette. Jeremy.
Hi.
Good night. Night, guys.
See y'all. Missy. Praise God. All right. We'll see y'all.